Thanks a lot for taking the time to listen to this session. I'm going to translate for you. I'm going to do a live translation, so I'm just going to listen to the recording that we made on the 30th of April in 2008. And yeah, I'm quite happy to have you with us. And so just sit back and join the session.
Es ist doch völlig normal, dass du irgendwann dieses Bedürfnis in dir findest.
It is completely normal, isn't it, that
an irgendeinem Ort, zu
some point in time, you find this
möge dir
urge in you,
auf einmal
this need.
Selbst begegnen.
Some place, sometime.
Wenn du in einem Ort bist, dann, egal ob du im Wald bist
that
oder in einem Zimmer,
God himself might finally come to you. That you are just at some place, no matter if it's in the woods or at your room. No matter if you pick up a book or if you're listening to something on the radio. Hasn't there always been this urge in you, this wish? How is it going to be when sometimes, suddenly, I'm going to listen to God? When it's not that somebody is talking to you about anything, but when it's there has to be a voice that answers me, that gives me answers to all my questions. In our manual for teachers, it says, ask for the rest. He who assumes a power he does not possess is deceiving himself. But to accept the power that is given him by God does only mean to acknowledge his creator and to accept his gifts. And his gifts do not have limits. So what is the power you do assume? Michael asking. The power you assume to have is the power to set up limits. When you try to limit life, then you do assume a power that you do not possess. When you love, and you believe that this love can be threatened or limited by anything in any way, then you do assume a power in that very moment that you do not possess. When you live, and even while you are living, you are already afraid of that something that's around with you, that this life might end, that it might end. We have to become very specific on this. When you believe that this life can die, when you are wasting but a single thought on this, then you, the Holy Son of God, who has all the power, only then are you assuming a power that you do not possess. You cannot kill life. It's not possible. or if you believe that this life can become ill or sick, then you do assume a power. Then you believe you have the power to weaken life. Then you believe you have the power to destroy life. Or when you believe that life that is living in a complete gentleness normally, when you believe that this life, whether you believe that this life is absolute or limited, a single being, when you imagine a single being, you yourself, in your mind, and you imagine it an instant to be sad or crying, or crying out of pain, then you do assume a power you do not possess. And that's exactly what you did. You did assume this power. And you believed, I have got this power. I can cause that life, that a being, no matter what form you bring that being in, what you call it, whether you call it a man or a dog or a small child or a young woman or an old man or a horse or a fish or whatever, that's exactly what you did. That's the way you imagined a world. And you assumed two powers, a good one and a bad one. And a loving one and a loveless one. And a happy one and a negative one and a positive one. And that is what you assumed. And now all you need is the correction. You are deceiving yourself. That's the whole correction. You are deceiving yourself. Is there a willingness in you to believe a voice that when it tells you, you are deceiving yourself? Do you have the possibility to believe that of the Holy Spirit, that He is meaning you, yourself, you that are in this moment hearing these words? When you are giving this willingness, then you are allowing Him to heal you, that He wakes you up to forgive you, to correct you, that He may correct you in your fundamental error that is not true. It is a course in cause. When you are ready, when you are willing to be corrected at this cause, then you are becoming a student of the Holy Spirit and are becoming a teacher of God yourself. And your salvation is fulfilled and guaranteed because you will it. That's all what is necessary in willingness. With this willingness, you are one with the willingness of the Holy Spirit to be a teacher at all. That He may be a teacher for you. Then He may correct you you, the Holy Son of God, you allow to be corrected by the Holy Spirit. And he may remove a deception that is lying heavily on your mind and on your mood and on your consciousness. He may take it from you. He who assumes a power he does not possess is deceiving himself. That's a sentence from the Course in Miracles. You do not have the power to destroy life. You do not have the power to kill life, not even a form of life. And that should make you so happy. When you are getting this information, you may breathe in from relief. Oh my God, I'm so happy that I deceived myself. Well, that's good news. That's salvation to listen to that, to hear that. And that's the moment when you are instantly relieved, saved from your imagined guilt. And in that very instant, everyone you perceive is saved from this guilt, which otherwise would be binding. Otherwise, everyone would be one with guilt. And then there wouldn't be a God. Reading from the Course, and his gifts do not have limits. Question: what does that mean for you right now? It means that your healing power is unlimited. It means that the power of forgiveness is limitless. It means you can forgive everything. You can take away any guilt, which is a limit in the realm of your perception, because your perception is the perception of limits. In your perception, you experience that life is limited, and that joy is limited, and that happiness is limited, and that gentleness is limited. So your perception must be wrong. So your perception must stem from a power that you are assuming, but you are not possessing. For the reason that when you are responsible for your perception, and you're being told that you are, then perception itself must be perception itself must be a deception, and the power that it seems to have is a power that you do not have. So why do you still perceive it? Answer: you can only dream it. So you have to allow to be told, because in this message your salvation lies. You are perceiving it, yes. There is a power, because otherwise you couldn't even perceive it, but it is an illusory power. It is an assumption. It is a deception. And a deception is being removed by accepting your real power, which is not an assumption, which is not a deception. And your real power is unlimited. And when you take up this force again, and you don't believe anymore that you are deceiving yourself when you're being told to heal the sick and to wake up the dead and to forgive all guilt. And you should not give in to any limit. You should not give in when a brother is sick. And you should not give in when in your mind you keep having evil dreams and bad imaginations. You should not give in there. At that very point, do not give in. You should not pretend as if that would be a limit. And the Holy Spirit is really stern. You've got a limit there. That's your belief. And you believed, when you believe to wake up the dead just as Jesus did, then you are assuming a power that you do not possess. And when you really want to heal the sick, when you want to do more than you can do with laying hands on bodies or with chemotherapy or with classical medicine or with natural medicine, when you do more than that, then you do assume a power that you do not possess. And that's why you did reduce it all the time and did not even cause all the things you have caused on earth to heal. Not even those did work. But you kept always believing, oh, I have to decide in favor of natural medicine and against clinical medicine. But you didn't even use both of them. In your mind. You can't use both of them, but you have to judge all the time the things you made. And you thought you have to set another limit. You have to turn away from the brother that is healing with this method, and you have to heal with that method, with a power, with the power you did assume to have, which is the power to set limits to lives. Well, you set limits, where you said a horse, yes, it can run fast, but it cannot fly. And again, is very nice to look at, but I cannot eat it. And a shark is very fast and nice to look at, but it's not as gentle as a dolphin. And with this power you assumed that you can limit everything, that you have to be in conflict all the time. The one thing can this, but that, it can't. I can do this, but that, no, that I can't. Yes, I'm a man, but no, I can't be a woman. Yes, I can be very intelligent, but I can't be very, very strong like Arnold. I can conceive a child, but I can't be the sperm at the same time. And that's the whole thing. You assume the power that you do not possess. And this power you assumed is not making you happy. It's a deception. And every single of your beings that you that you are imagining with this power you assumed in a very realistic, deceiving realistic way. Every of those beings is not making you happy, and you're even afraid of them. In your assumption, you made fear and more fear, and your love, your complete love, you're now believing to be an assumption. And from this dream, you have to be woken by the Holy Spirit, because in your dream, you've got those phenomenons,
da baust du irgendwelche Pyramiden und glaubst, die sind keine Anmaßung.
There you need some pyramids, and then you believe, oh no, those are not assumptions.
Und glaubst, die sind keine Anmaßung.
And you're inventing some limited higher levels, realms, and believe that those are not an assumption. And from this deception, you have to awake. Reading, and his gifts do not have limits. To ask the Holy Spirit to decide for you means but to accept your real inheritance. Question. Does this mean you cannot say anything without asking him, the Holy Spirit? So the reading keeps going. No, not at all, because that wouldn't be practical at all. And it's the practical which is the main point of this Course in Miracles. When it has become a habit of yours to ask for help whenever and wherever you can, then you can be sure that wisdom is given you whenever you need it. Do prepare every morning for that, and remember God throughout the day whenever you can, and ask for the help of the Holy Spirit whenever that's possible, and in the evening thank him for his guidance. And he will be, your confidence will be on safe grounds. Do never forget that the Holy Spirit is not bound to your understanding and your words. He hears your asking and is answering it. For God has given him the power to translate your prayers of the heart into his language. He understands that an attack is a call for help. And so he reacts with help. God would be cruel when he allowed your words to replace his own. A loving father does not allow his child to damage himself or even to choose his own destruction. It might be asking for injury, but his father would still protect it. And how much more than this does your father love his son? Remember, you are his completeness and his love. Remember, your weakness is his strength. But do not read this quickly or wrong. When his strength is in you, then this, what you perceive as your weakness, is but an illusion. And he has given you the means to prove them as such. When you forgive, when you use those means, when you really use those means, then you yourself will prove that your weakness is an illusion. But when you do not use these means, then the weakness remains proved for you. And how do you weaken yourself? By limiting yourself. By listening to voices that are teaching you limits. And that's what you are doing in your religions as well, and in your spiritual affirmations as well, and in the things you do with that as well. Then you are told to use some violet beam for anything. Don't. Do it the other way around. When you let forgiveness rest upon it, then you will prove that the violet beam was an illusion and the negative energy was an illusion. You yourself can prove it. When do you want to do that? When you are proud, then you do not want that. When you are too proud to experience that you deceived yourself, everybody who is not willing to be corrected, is too proud. Anyone who believes he can be looked down on is too proud, because only the proud fear to be looked down upon. And you wouldn't have been telling over decades that some time ago someone didn't praise you enough or said something bad to you. That's what the proud ones do, and they are deceiving themselves, and they are searching their salvation in another form. And who hasn't done that here? Everyone has done it here. And that's why everybody listen to teachers who praise them in their pride and has given them a function where they can reach a higher limited consciousness, a higher limited function. And who didn't follow those teachers? Everyone did. And then you healed with a more highly evolved method of healing to heal a sick one, but you always laid the limit upon yourself again. And in your pride, you only valued the higher method of healing, and when it didn't work, then you just said, well, okay, it was a terminal illness. Oh, it's a very, very strong illness. It's so strong it can't be healed. And you kept on valuing your higher method of healing. That's things proud ones do. Who are the proud ones? Everyone who's valuing, everyone who's judging. That's the replacement for your real inheritance. That's your replacement for the fact you can ask for gifts that do not have limits. It's a fact that these gifts exist. But you do not receive them when you are turning away from the giver of those gifts and are turning towards the ego and are asking of his gifts, of its gifts, asking for its gifts. And the ego can't give you the gifts only the Holy Spirit can give you. It doesn't have them. They're not at its disposal. The ego is not offering you miracles. The ego doesn't teach you to wake the dead. It doesn't teach you forgiveness. It doesn't teach you to extend forgiveness onto everything in just the same way. It teaches you some special methods of healing, and it teaches you to look very limitedly onto everybody and to first set a limit on him in which you then can analyze him, and then you also should analyze your healing methods in their limitedness. And you are to teach the patient to value your method of healing, otherwise it won't work. And that's the way you keep bound to the limits and keep assuming a power you do not possess. You cannot limit the will of God, brother. You just can't. And that's exactly what you are doing. you are limiting his will and are formulating his will and are making a method from his will and are making a concept of healing from his will and are making a form out of his will, a pill, a stone, a plant, and it's just not possible to limit his will. In the plant, there isn't any power. In the stone, there isn't any power. In a certain constellation of stones, there isn't any power. God is power. God is the only omnipotence there is. The only all-encompassing power there is. And when you're limiting his power, then you're just being told that you can't. You can't limit his power. From his power, which is the only power there is, you can't make a peppermint plant or a pyramid or a healing stone. That's absurd. That's what you're assuming. And everything you are then experiencing is an illusion of power that is simply deceiving you. It's lulling you into a dream, only into a dream. And in the dream, the pyramid has power, and the stone has power, and the plant has power, and the single animal has power, and the sun has a power, and the rain has a power, and everything, all of these have different limited powers. And you can experience that as long as you want, and you have to experience that as long as you want. And you will be making new powers, and then you will dig up the old ones and will remember them. Will call them, will speak your magic words. He who assumes a power he does not possess is deceiving himself. Who is that? You. You can't limit his power. When his power is the only power existing in the whole universe, and you are experiencing a limited power, then you assumed something which can't be but an assumption. When you are perceiving a limited power, then you have assumed a power that you do not possess. That's the simple way it is explained. And from this simple explanation, you can look onto any different, all of those power phenomena, no matter whether positive or negative, and instead of thinking, of using positive thinking or negative thinking, you just say, stop. Why should I? Why should I use that? Why should I assume a positive power when all it's doing is deceiving me? Is to deceive me. And then you can call the Holy Spirit directly, and you don't need a magic formula for that. You don't need a specific way of calling him. If you don't do that, then you have to call the power of the healing stone. or you have to call the power of an eagle's feather, or to call to the power of a powerful place, or of a powerful enemy, or of a powerful pill, which is just the same idea as an eagle's feather, just a little more modern. Eagle's feather in powders pressed into the form of a pill. It's nothing else. Be very sure about that. It's the same idea. You're just keeping up with time in your thinking. Why shouldn't you? Remember, you are his completion and your love and his love. You are that. And he has given you the means. To prove the illusions as such. But you won't do it. You will not do it as long as you value your illusions. It's impossible that you are doing that. As long as you are valuing the illusions. Ask all things of his teacher, and all things are being given you, not in the future, but right now. God does not wait. For to wait implies time, and God is from out of time. Forget your crazy images. Your feeling of not being strong and your fear of damage, your dreams of dangers and of selected bad deeds. God only knows his son, and he is just the way he was created. In confidence, do I lay you into his hands? And I say thanks for you that this is so. And that's the way you should be thinking about your brother. When you remember your brother, then you should say, in confidence do I lay you into his hands, and I say thank for you. That is so. And now you can forget all your crazy images. They are crazy. And your feeling of not being strong. And your fear of damage. You should forget that. And that's what forgiveness does cause. Forgiveness causes forgetting. When forgiveness doesn't cause forgetting, then you did not forgive. And then you stop calling to the things for their power. Then you stop calling the healing stone for his power, but you just let him be any stone. The healing stone is just like any other stone. It's just the same thing as a concrete stone. But if you believe that the concrete stone, concrete, whatever you call it, or whatever you believe then to be that, when you believe that concrete has a negative energy, then you're just deceiving yourself. And when you then believe that the healing stone has a positive energy, then you're deceiving yourself. Just the same way. But he who is deceiving himself is deceiving himself. And what does that mean? What does it mean to deceive yourself? A deception means that you are taking for true what you are experiencing. That's what a deception is. A deception is a deception only because you take it to be true. But when you stop to take it to be true, then you see that it has been a deception. Do you want to experience that? Do you want to be someone who just realizes that it has been a deception and you realize that the truth will set you free? Will you just take your healing stones and throw them into the next river? And are you willing to just be happy as a child for an instant? That this healing stones is shining when the sun comes in. It's just lying in this little creek, and you're in joy with this healing stone. You're just a moment in love with your perception, without the perception to have a very specific meaning. Who is healing you then? And what do you experience then? Then you experience that concrete doesn't damage you, doesn't hurt you, that a nuclear power plant which is nuclearly poisoned, that it doesn't hurt you, then you finally experience that Chernobyl is harmless, that the radiation is harmless. What are you causing then? Then you're finally causing that in the areas around Chernobyl, children don't get sick anymore. Then you finally heal. Then finally you look for giving onto Chernobyl. Look at it. It's just a block of concrete. They put tons of concrete onto it. But when you're now teaching that from there they're still radiating negative rays, then you're not a healer, are you? Then you are the thing that has to be called evil. Then you are evil, aren't you? Then you're poisoning your world and are using Chernobyl to damage your world and are assuming a power that you do not possess. And that's where the Holy Spirit is stern, because he wants to help you to bless your world so it becomes more than good, holy. And it's obvious that you can't destroy Chernobyl, but what is it that you can do? What is it? you can experience that from Chernobyl, Chernobyl becomes a place of healing instantly. Then Chernobyl becomes more than a healing stone, more than this healing stone. Then from Chernobyl stems blessing. More than from a healing stone that came from Manchester somewhere. Then Chernobyl is a place of healing. Do you want that? Do you want that? Look into your mind if you want this. Look, if you are asking the Holy Spirit for this gift, Chernobyl is an idea in your mind. Should it remain hell and everyone getting near should become sick? Do you still want to assume a power that you do not possess? Or are you finally becoming humble and allow His will to happen and are extending it from you into all time and all of space? And are performing miracles by looking your evil, ill thoughts that you projected onto Chernobyl. Now you're putting it onto the altar of your mind and are asking the Holy Spirit for a miracle, that He should remove the negative energies and beams and rays from your mind, and He should remove on the altar of your mind the cancer-causing radiations and substances. His gifts have no limits. Now you are asked, teacher of God. You can become a teacher of God when you want to. And what do you believe? How many thousands and thousands and thousands are asking you to perform a miracle? There are many children to be born, and there are many, many animals to live in this area, and many birds are to fly there. What should happen? Should they really be injured for the rest of their life? Do you still want to assume this power in your mind by thoughtlessly tolerating attack thoughts and oppose to giving up those attack thoughts? You are at your next shopping trip, you're wondering whether there's too much fat in this product or whether there's too many chemical ingredients there. And what about Chernobyl? It's standing right in the middle of your world. It's right in the middle of your mind. And you can pray. And you can ask. You can do that. The whole point is, who do you ask for what? And now you can find the pride in yourself, the pride. In my world, there is a nuclear power plant and it's poisoning 4 generations. And if they hadn't done that, and you're just prosecuting without any mercy your whole world, and you're not stopping there, and instead of forgiving, you're being upset about that. And that's why you need this lesson: I'm never upset for the reason I think. You should be motivated by that. You're motivated by that to stop, to turn around, to come back. It's not that it's said that you are guilty. No. Accept the atonement, teacher of God. Accept it. And ask in your heart, let this prayer of the heart rise. Ask for blessing for your world. And even when in the realm of your perception, the Geiger counters are proving an elevated radioactivity there, don't stop because of that. It needs a sufficient amount of people. And when you're only the second one, then Jesus is telling you, I was the first one. And you can connect with him, you can join with him. And why shouldn't we do that? You should be at the point where you've learned that you cannot enjoy suffering. And that's as simple as you have to make it. Perception has but one purpose, because God wants that. It only should make you happy. And that's a purpose that God set fixed. You cannot change it. Because God wants that you, the perceiver, can be in joy. The turnaround in the mind, that means that you should use the means to cause that purpose. So what's the fixed purpose of Chernobyl? You have to be able to enjoy it. What does it serve you to look away from Chernobyl and are looking to the Mount Kailash or Mount Shasta or onto a healing stone? You should not look away. You shouldn't. You should look right onto Chernobyl and give healing. You shouldn't turn away, but you should make a commitment. You shouldn't want to rise somewhere else, but you should go to Chernobyl into your mind and give healing there. And not trying to reach a higher dimension or something like that. make a higher dimension out of Chernobyl, make from Chernobyl the highest dimension you know, make it a place of joy and of happiness and of peace, and turn hell into heaven. You can do that because God wants it this way. But if you keep insisting, no, I can't, no, I can't, then you are assuming a power that you do not possess. And so simply, so simply you should, and easily you should begin to think. That's the point where the Holy Spirit wants to get you. He's telling you, be humble and become, finally become a savior of your world and bless it. Wherever a judgment exists, heal the call for forgiveness. And you can see how merciless Chernobyl is being judged. How merciless. And exactly those who want to save nature are condemning Chernobyl to a place of death and destruction. That's why this world needs teachers of God. And when they meet, then for a single purpose only, to give healing with each other, together, to cause healing. And then you can start to look lovingly and gently onto Chernobyl. And your crazy images, you can just forget them because they are crazy. Or isn't it crazy to keep making prophecies over millenniums of a place of cruelty and of terror? As if for thousands and thousands of years negative rays will be emitting from there, and now even the concrete is breaking apart and all that, and now what is that good for? Who should now go there and fill the holes in the concrete? Who should do that? Everybody knows when he does that, then he's coming back with blood cancer. So there isn't any solution. What should you do? What should you do? Should you drop an A-bomb there? Do you want to go there as a Greenpeace guy and put organic concrete onto that? Or trying to squeeze in healing stones into the holes. You don't even believe that the healing stone is stronger than the nuclear radiation. We have to change our minds, and in the Course in Miracles we are being shown what assumption is and what humbleness is, And that's the way the Holy Spirit is leading you to the only place of power that exists, to God. And he's telling you, ask for all power there, and then give it wherever you're being led to. And remove all those crazy images and all those crazy negative energies. Remove them from your mind. They don't belong there. And then you will experience that joy fills your heart, and you're just thankful that you may be so gentle. And you're blessing every bird that is flying across Chernobyl, and every worm that is crawling there, and every fox that's building his holes there, and you're just blessing them. And are removing, and meanwhile you are removing your dangerous radiations. You're exchanging it for a miracle, because they're only crazy ideas which a child is dreaming in his fever dreams. And now be you blessed in all you're doing. God is calling to you. God is turning to you for your help to save the world. Teacher of God, his thanks is he offering you. And the whole world stands still in the grace you're bringing from him. You are the son he loves. And it is giving you to be the means by which his voice is being heard around the world to close all things of time, to end the vision of all visible things, and to remove all things that are changing. Through you, a world is led in, invisible, unhearable, but yet still truly there. Holy are you, and in your light the world reflects your holiness, because you're not alone and friendless. I say thanks for you. That's what Jesus is telling you here. And I join with your efforts in favor of God in the recognition that they are in my favor as well, and in favor of everybody else who is going to God with me. Amen. Amen, it reads here. So be it. That's the way God wants it. And that's what he can do as well. You can say, yeah, that's just the way I want it too. I want it like this. And I'm thankful that God does want it as well like this. It's just completely absurd to constantly weaken oneself and to run around the world where so little joy remained, and to stay comfortable with that, instead of saying, oh, wait a minute, that's what we want to change. We want to change that. It is a place. Chernobyl. To turn Chernobyl into a place of power, of the love of God. All we have to do is to want it. You have to want it. God does want it already. You have to want it. And then you can give healings there. Right at Chernobyl, you can heal leukemia, the blood cancer. All you have to do is to believe it. You can do it. You can do it. To turn a place, to turn a hell into heaven, that's what you can do. So healing has to be possible in Chernobyl and not away from there. That's absurd. So you should think of setting up a cancer clinic there, a hospital. These are just helpful thoughts where you're just like a child, where you can think innocently, and in this childly innocence, you're not laying boundaries, limits onto yourself. And your mind opens. And you're able to see the world differently. And you don't have to warn anyone from Chernobyl anymore, because that's what you do in your mind. In this warning is already the root of illness, of sickness. In the warning is the threat. That's the way you have to think. And then you can lay your warnings onto the altar of your mind and ask for miracles that they may be removed. And that's, in that very moment, you have removed the cause of the threat. And this simply the Holy Spirit wants you to teach and to learn and to think. And then now, one bird that is sitting down onto this nuclear planet. Now one bird doesn't have to become sick. And one who has worked there and who for one instant he believes that in this world there is someone who can heal him. He is healed in this very moment. There we should be very sure. Not because of a power we do assume, but because of a power we have asked for and which is giving itself to us freely. What do you think? How many are right now calling for help? You just have to extend it like a child. Just like a child. And you just believe that someday in Chernobyl there's a a sausage stand, and you can buy sausages, and you drive up there and just pass the weekend there in Chernobyl. To relax. You can think like that. It's not a problem at all. And you extend this joy of a child. And that's how your perception becomes true, because you're using your whole perception to be in joy. And that should be healing. Well, Jesus healed with the water in the mouth, just like a child. What do you believe, how much healing now happened if even one single being agreed with that? Yes, that's of course not the kind of healing you are making, this fearful healing. Here is just happening the will of God. But there you just don't believe that He is willing you to be able to enjoy everything. Nothing real can be threatened. The only thing that is hindering you is you don't yet fully believe in God, but you also believe into the power of evil, in the power of the negative, of the destroying. And when it is like that, then just allow to be corrected. And let yourself be told, you, that's just an assumption. And you can heal that. That's healable. You can have it be removed if you want to. If you come to God just like a child. Oh, and you say, I assumed something there, and it doesn't make me happy, and it doesn't make my world happy either, and my pride doesn't make anyone happy. And I did recognize myself by my fruits, and I ask for healing. Then the whole heaven is cheering. You can be sure about that. Is in joy.
Und Jesus hat zu dir, darauf muss mein Heer.
And Jesus tells you, oh, we should have a drink because of that. Let's have a sip of prana.
Ja, bist du nicht endlich auch wie ein Kind über deine spirituellen
so, don't you also want to think like a child about your very important spiritual things? Doesn't pay off to enjoy that as well a bit? What do you want with all those judgments? They are just too heavy.
Es geht doch viel leichter.
There's a much easier way.
Wir sind doch unter uns.
We are allowed to think like that. It's just us. Mm-hmm.